This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. And with Queen's Fat Bottom Girls in the background, we move on to a segment about moral dilemmas. I'm using that music because of the book by my next guest. The book is called Would You Kill the Fat Man? The Trolley Problem and What Your Answer Tells Us About Right and Wrong. It is a book all about moral dilemmas and ethical decisions. It was written by my next guest, Dr. David Edmonds, who's co-founder of the Philosophy Bites podcast and a senior research associate at the University of Oxford's UHERO Center for Practical Ethics. David, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I love these sort of things because everybody has to make decisions about all sorts of things every day. But sometimes these kind of decisions seem like they might be really, really tough and just require a little bit more thought than others. But in the end, things like the trolley problem really come down to a simple, basic morality. Before we explain the basis of it, tell my audience what the trolley problem is.
Well, I need to explain two trolley dilemmas. So trolley, it began with a thought experiment in Oxford in the 1960s, and it was originally a train. And then an American philosopher came up with a second scenario, and the train became a trolley. So I'll put the first scenario to you. So you imagine a runaway train is out of control. Its brakes have failed. It's heading down the track. And if you do nothing, five people will be killed. Five people are stuck to the track ahead of the train. So they look like they're facing inevitable death. But fortunately, you have one option, which is you can turn a switch. You're standing by the side of the track, and you can send the train down a side track, down a spur, where, unfortunately, one person is stuck. So the question is, do you allow the train to head down the track and to kill the five, or do you turn the switch and turn the train down the side track and kill the one? So let me ask you, what would you do?
Well, I think the obvious answer is you have to sacrifice the one to save the five.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that 90% of the world's population agree with you. That's the answer almost everybody gives. But now imagine a second scenario. This time the train is running down the track. It's going to kill five people unless something is done. You do have an option again this time, but it's a slightly different scenario. You're standing on top of a footbridge. Next to you is a very large man, a fat man, and he's leaning over the footbridge. If you were give him a gentle shove, he would tumble over the footbridge, and he would kind of splatter onto the track below, and he's so bulky that he would stop the train. Obviously, he would die, but the five people would be saved. So the question is, would you push the fat man to his death to save the five lives?
And here's where we get into the discussion, because now we're talking about a much more active role involved in the death of the person. I like to think that I would still make the same decision to save the five, even though I'd be sacrificing the one. But of course, in my mind, I also come up with all sorts of other scenarios where I ask, well, could there be a switch that I pull so I don't have to touch the guy and push him myself, even though that would still be my own act? What do most people say when you pose it to them?
Well, in this second scenario, almost 90% of people think it would be wrong to kill the fat man.
Huh.
So in the first scenario, almost everybody thinks that it's right to turn the train to kill the one to save the five. In the second scenario, almost nobody believes it's right to push the fat man to his death. And that's really the puzzle at the heart of this book. It's been a 50-year, as it were, philosophical crime investigation story, trying to work out, well, what is the difference between these two cases? Is there a genuine difference, or is it just squeamishness? Because after all, in both cases, as you so rightly point out, you have a choice between five lives and one life. So are people being rational or moral when they say in the second case it's wrong to push the fat man, when they say in the first case it's right to turn the train? And the book is about exploring that distinction and various other aspects of what's become known as, rather jokingly, trolleyology, the study of these trolley problems.
I think I should ask you what you would do in the second scenario.
Well, we probably don't have time to go into why I'm going to give the answer that I do give, but I think 90% of people are absolutely right that it's wrong to push the fat man. I think that there's a distinction here, which you sometimes hear our leaders make when they're at warfare. you heard it with Prime Minister Blair, with President Bush, when they're drawing out the distinction between what they do and what Al-Qaeda do. So sometimes if the British or Americans have to launch a military operation to attack, let's say, a military installation, they know that some civilians might be killed. They know that there might be, in that terrible euphemism, some collateral damage. They might know, for example, that as many as 50 or 100 civilians will be killed. But they think that it's acceptable in any case because that's a side effect of what they're doing. They're not intending to kill those civilians. What they're intending to do is to hit the military installation. And they claim, and I think correctly, that the difference between what they do and what Al-Qaeda do is that when Al-Qaeda deliberately targets civilians, they want to kill the civilians. They intend to kill the civilians. So even though in both cases, let's say, the equal number of civilians might be killed, there's an important moral distinction between those two cases, where in the one case, you're intentionally killing people. In the other case, you are knowingly killing civilians, but you're not doing it intentionally. You're doing it as a foreseen side effect. And it's an example, actually, which goes back. It's a distinction that goes back almost 1,000 years to Thomas Aquinas, and it's buried deep into Catholic theology, but not just into Catholic theology, now into secular theology and theology and secular morality and morality more generally.
In each case, you said 90% of the people around the world, but I'm curious about whether there are, let's call them, moral differences depending on geography. Obviously, Al-Qaeda has different morality than we do, but I'm just talking about in general in a population. Do people on the subcontinent of India have a different one than perhaps in the Saharan Africa or the United States versus the UK, etc.?
Well, they haven't tested this in every corner of the world, but they've tested it in quite a few places, and it's a very good question. And one way in which these trolley problems are used is as an argument to demonstrate or as evidence for the claim that morality has a deep universal structure around the world. So you know the way Noam Chomsky famously claims that all languages have a deep structure. There's something similar about all languages, which is why, as babies, we can pick up language very quickly. Well, these trolley problems have been tested in various places, and whether you're American or British or Indian or Canadian or whatever, people give pretty much the same answers to all these problems. That's the same whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're educated or whether you're uneducated. Pretty much everybody gives the same answers. And as I say, this has been used as evidence to suggest that actually perhaps there's a deep moral grammar in our brains, just as there's a linguistic grammar as well, and that we do all share roughly across the human race the same moral instincts.
Well, then I wonder, since I answered that I would kill the fat man and you wouldn't, I admit that I gave it quite a bit of thought because I knew you were coming on the show today, and so I knew what the subject was going to be, and so I had thought about this ahead of time. But I wonder if somebody instantly and gleefully responds, oh, I would definitely kill the fat man, do we start thinking, okay, you're a psychopath?
The more time you give people to think about it, the more likely that they will say, let's push the fat man. The immediate emotional response will be to recoil from the idea of pushing the fat man. As I say, if you give them more time, then they might think, well, one life as opposed to five lives, maybe I should take the fat man's life. There are differences between the types of people who will push the fat man and the types of people who won't. So I'm afraid it is the case that a slightly higher percentage of psychopaths are prepared to push the fat man than in the general population across the board. So I don't know. Maybe you should go and get yourself tested out.
Last question I have for you, and I've only got a minute left here, David. Does it matter if we know the fat man or know someone on the trolley?
It does make a difference. You can actually tweak one's intuitions in all sorts of ways. So you can imagine that the one person on the side is Einstein or is about to cure cancer or something like that. So by making little changes to the scenarios, you can fundamentally alter intuitions. And one way you can do that is absolutely to give a kind of name and an identity and a kind of details about the one person you're about to kill. And that obviously makes people more reluctant to kill, the more likely they are to associate that person with all those other details like a name and a job and so on.
Yeah, I can tell you, if my wife and my daughter are on the trolley, fat man's going splat. No doubt about it. The book is called Would You Kill the Fat Man? The Trolley Problem and What Your Answer Tells Us About Right and Wrong. Full of discussions about this and other moral dilemmas. You'll especially want to read the chapter on the bionic trolley. Dr. Dave Edmonds from Oxford and the Philosophy Bites podcast. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.